Well, good evening. It's good to see you all this evening, the few of us that are here and those of us that are on the internet. We look forward to seeing y'all Sunday morning in the sanctuary. We're going to start off by singing, "He Keeps Me Singing." There is within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath the sheltering wing. Always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with Him on high. So Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Okay. Well, I'm told we have video now. All right. I'm sorry, say again. No audio? Okay. Now we're going to sing "On Jordan's Stormy Banks." On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land. All o'er those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. There God the sun forever reigns and scatters night away. I am bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest? I'm bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land. Amen. All right, next we'll sing. Let me get this page flipped here. All Fly Away. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. Of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. Fly away. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, for our last song, we're going to sing Jesus Paid It All.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spot. Stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Oh, Calvary's lap. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, if you please would welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
All right. Well, good evening. Good evening, good evening. Hope you're doing well there in the internet land. And those of you that are here in the sanctuary with us this evening, this is kind of a milestone for us tonight. This is the last just live stream that we will have. Next, this coming Sunday, we'll all be together publicly. With social distancing and social distancing spacing and all of those different things, we'll all be back in the sanctuary together. You're invited, encouraged, if you're 65 or older, to have your mask on and your gloves and all that stuff. Hand sanitizer, all the different things. You think you're sick, don't come, yada, 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 the COVID mandates. I'll try to get those out to you in the morning. But man, we're going to be back together. It's going to be great. There's going to be faces all over the building looking back at me. That's going to be a welcome change. I can't wait. So next Wednesday night, we'll have a live audience. So this is the last just live stream service. We'll continue to live stream, but we'll be having a live group here. Plus a live stream audience, and then, you know, those that watch the videos after the fact. I'm amazed at just how the amount of people that watch it live, and then the amount of people who end up watching it. I mean, it just boggles my mind that that people continue to do that, and that's a great sign. It's a great sign of people wanting to be discipled, people loving the Word and wanting to be in the Word. So greatly, greatly encouraged by that. As we think about our prayer requests this evening, boy, we know we need to be praying for our nation and the unrest that is going on in many of the larger metropolitan areas in our country. The protests, I think now most of them are peaceful, but there are still some looting and violence and all kinds of stuff going on. Police officers are being injured, and it's just a bad, bad time right now in our country. We want to continue to pray for peace in America, our president. We want to pray for our military. Some of our military are being used, are being asked to help, or being ordered to help with the unrest in America. We want to pray for them. We'll pray for the National Guard. A lot of National Guard units have been called up in these different states and large metropolitan areas. We'll pray for our local police, our sheriff's departments, our constables, all of those men and women in blue that are first responders, all of those folks that are stepping up during this time to try to keep the peace and keep people safe. We'll pray for the lost folks to be saved. Amen. We'll lift up Brother Bill Neal. He's going to be receiving his results from his lung biopsy in, 10 days, a week? So won't be that long, so he's had a lung biopsy for a suspected cancer spot on his lung. That happened this Tuesday, and so we want to pray for him that he gets favorable results on that. And then your former pastor and pastor's wife, Bobby and Patsy Connor, I want to pray for their healing as they are, looks like, both getting ready to start some rehab. Brother Bobby's had double bypass heart surgery. And Miss Patsy is still struggling with an infection in her liver that they're trying to take care of and get rid of. So, and then finally, we want to lift up Miss Alita and Brother Ronnie Vaculik. Miss Alita has had some, what do you call it? Some COVID symptoms, running a fever, and so not feeling well, and sinus issues, and all that stuff. So her and Ronnie have gone to get tested at one of the testing centers at Del Mar Stadium, I believe, close to their home, and so they'll be getting the results back here Thursday or Friday. So we want to lift them up that those test results come back negative on that. Amen. I tell you, it's something when you're praying for the flu, when you're praying that you have the flu and you don't have the COVID-19 virus. That's something when you have to pray that way. But that's basically, you know, we're praying kind of in that direction. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll lift these up. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and as we continue to see on the major news networks, Lord, and on the cable news networks, Lord, just all the protests and the, Lord, and just the pain and just, Lord, people hurting, fighting and protesting for racial equality in this country, Lord, we pray that these protests, first of all, they're Americans and they have the right to speak their mind and, Lord, and to speak their voice. But, Lord, we pray for their protection, and we pray for those men and women in blue that are trying to keep the peace and get people to abide by the laws. And Lord, we just pray that there would be some kind of a compromise, a coming together, and Lord, some measures of accountability, whatever there needs to be. Lord, I pray we as a country could get past this and on down the road to healing and better relations, better racial relations, Lord, and some of these metropolitan areas. But, Lord, we do pray a hedge of protection around the protesters, but certainly we pray a hedge of protection around these men and women in blue. And we pray for these, Lord, that want to come in and cause trouble and stir up strife and destroy property. Lord, I just pray that you would silence those folks, that you would remove them from this process, and that, Lord, they would just not have an ear. You would just take those in the crowd, Lord, you would just protect their minds and their ears from those that want to draw them into doing criminal activity and abusing the police and attacking the police and destroying property and all of those things that have gone on, that continue to go on in some of these large metropolitan areas. Lord, I pray that people, Lord, would protest in a peaceful, Lord, in a safe fashion, God. They have a right to do it, but Lord, I pray that they would do it in a peaceful and a safe fashion. And Lord, I pray that the government would, those that have been voted in office, they would listen, and Lord, there would be a coming together of wisdom and what is right here, and Lord, we would just, we'd get on down the road with it. Lord, help us do that as a country. Lord, we do pray for our military. We pray for our National Guard. We pray for all these local police that are involved. Some of them in these larger metropolitan areas, like here in Houston, Lord, they are just so overworked right now with overtime and having to be on point and Lord, having people yell at them and all this stuff. And Lord, I just pray that you protect them, that you help them get through this difficult time. Sheriff's Department, constables, Lord, we just pray a hedge of protection around them. Lord, as we come to you tonight, we know folks that are lost without Jesus Christ, and Lord, we lift them up to you. We know that you're a God that saves, and we know that we're in the church age, and we know the gospel is real, and Lord, we know it penetrates hearts, and we know that grace is the thing, and Lord, we know that we're sinners in need of a Savior, and Lord, help us get the message out, and Lord, help those folks that are on the fence between living a carnal, fleshly life and receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord. I pray that there would just be circumstance, situation, Lord, that crossroad in their life where they would come to that point in time, that moment in their journey and life, that they would choose you, Jesus, and they would invite you into their heart and life as personal Savior and Lord. Thank you that you save. Thank you that you saved us. And Lord, we pray for those that we know, those that we like, those that we love, that are so desperately lost in need of a Savior, Lord. We pray that you would use us as we pray for them. you would use other Christians, Lord, to witness to them and to sow seeds of salvation in their hearts and in their lives. Lord, we lift up Brother Bill Neal to you tonight, and we're praying for a favorable outcome on his lung biopsy that he's had. Lord, a suspected spot of cancer on his lung. And Lord, we're just praying for a favorable test result and outcome for that. We thank you for Brother Bill, Lord. We pray you bring healing to his body and his life. And Lord, watch over him during this time. Patsy and Bobby Connor, Lord, you know both of their struggles. Miss Patsy with this infection, Brother Bobby trying to recover from double bypass surgery. Lord, we just pray that you heal their bodies, protect them. Lord, raise them up, and Lord, get them on to their respective courses of rehab so that they can get back to a position of health and being able to serve you and do and go how you've called and equipped them to do and go, Lord. We thank you for them and pray you touch them and bring healing to them. And then Alita and Ronnie, Lord, we pray you touch their bodies, bring healing to them, bring healing to Alita. And Lord, we just pray for a negative result for both of them when it comes to COVID-19. We pray this is some other kind of virus, perhaps even the flu. But Lord, we pray you get Miss Alita through that, bring healing to her, and that you protect Brother Ronnie from any kind of a major illness or sickness or physical setback for his health. And Lord, just watch over them, protect them, be with them. We pray a hedge of protection around their home at this time. Lord, as we think about tonight, we just thank you that we have the opportunity, Lord. We're looking forward to having people in this worship, this place of worship this coming Sunday. Lord, we've had a small skeleton-like crew here these last several weeks. And Lord, we're looking forward to having a church with more folks here and hopefully more folks even watching online. And Lord, we just pray that your word would go forth and would go out. And we would be good stewards of the truth. We would seek to live it, and we would seek to allow the Holy Spirit to just produce glory and honor through our lives back to you, our Heavenly Father. We're so thankful for what you do for us, how you save us, how you bless us, how you set us apart, how you call us out of darkness, how you deliver us from evil and sin, the penalty of death, Lord, how you deliver us from that and put us on a path of righteousness. And Lord, head us to a place called heaven. We're just so thankful and blessed because of it. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right. If you have a copy of God's Word, we are in Exodus chapter 15 tonight. Exodus chapter 15. And we're going to pick it up here at verse 19. And we'll take it through about verse 27. And I think we read Moses' song last week. In fact, I know we did. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 18. And so we'll pick it up about where we left off in Exodus chapter 15, beginning in verse 19. Hopefully you've had an opportunity to find that. Exodus chapter 15, beginning in verse 19. Exodus 15, verse 19, and we'll take it through verse 27. So hopefully you've had an opportunity to find that this evening. Exodus chapter 15, beginning in verse 19. For the horses of Pharaoh, verse 19, chapter 15, for the horses of Pharaoh with his chariots and his horsemen went into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea on them, but the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea. Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing. And I mentioned her refrain, Miriam's refrain, last week, and this is her refrain. Verse 21, Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider has hurled into the sea." That brings us to verse 22 of chapter 15. Notice what it says. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them. And he said, "If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in His sight, and give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer." Boy, that's a good sign. That's a good thing to say, isn't it? That's a good thing to hear. "For I, the Lord, am your healer." Then they came to Elim, where they were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters. Let's go to the Lord again. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word. We praise You for Your goodness. We praise You for Your healing. We praise You for all that You do and all that You've given to us, Lord. And again, we pray we'd be good stewards of it and we would get the message out. Thank You for loving us again tonight. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for this time together in Your Word. It's in Your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right. Well, as we think about this new section of Scripture, we wanted just a quick review and think about kind of what we've covered going through all this. And so we asked the question, what are some lessons to take away from chapters 14 and that first portion of verse 15, verses 1 through 18? So 14 and 15, what are some lessons to take away from 14 through 15 concerning the life and character of Moses in regards to leading God's people? Well, in these chapters, first of all, we see the hardening effects of sin and the consequences of that hardening. We see the, what do we see? We see the hardening effects of sin and the consequences of that hardening. As for the Egyptians, the story of the Exodus ends, it ends with the deaths of the firstborn, and it ends with the drowning of Pharaoh's many horsemen and his charioteers. I mean, he had this great military. They go into the dry ground where the sea has been parted, and they're in pursuit on the hills of the Israelites. And as the Israelites get out of that area of water, that water comes back together and it drowns those horsemen and charioteers. These were a bitter result. The drowning and the death of the firstborn were a bitter result of the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. And so what you got to get, when you think about this, and I'm reminded of this as we think about everything that's gone on with the death of this this Houstonian that was up in Minneapolis. George Floyd, is that his name? George Floyd? This one police officer, one knee on one neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, almost 9 minutes. One knee on one man's neck, right? Think of all the destruction across this country that has happened over the last 10 days, 9, 10 days, because of one knee on one man's neck. I want to tell you, our actions, for good or bad, our actions have a ripple effect to the people around us that we know, and sometimes to the people that we don't even know. So in these last chapters, we see the hardening effects of sin and the consequences of that hardening. Pharaoh was one person, hardened his heart. His people suffered. His whole country suffered because of his hardening, sinful heart. So number one, in these chapters, we see the hardening effects of sin and the consequences of that hardening. Number two, we also see the absolute necessity of blood atonement. You got to have blood atonement. The death of the lamb, at that Passover narrative, the death of the lamb points towards the death of who? The death of Jesus Christ, right? This is the very heart of the biblical message, the gospel message. Although it's contrary to modern religion, teaching that is true to Scripture, teaching that is true to Scripture always makes central Jesus' death, don't ever miss that, and the necessity of faith in Him. Somebody had to die, Jesus died. Somebody perfect had to die. Jesus Christ was the Messiah, was perfect. And then we've got to place our faith and trust in that perfect substitutionary sacrifice. To apply this properly, we have to ask ourselves the question. We've got to come to grips with the question, am I trusting Jesus for my salvation? Am I trusting Jesus Christ for my salvation? Do I know that He died in my place as my substitute? If I do know and I do believe that, am I teaching others that essential doctrine as clearly as I know how? I mean, if we really believe in the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ, that's a great thing to be telling people, right? That's a great gospel message. We learn the absolute necessity of blood atonement. Well, what do we see? We see the hardening effects of sin and the consequences of that hardening. Number three, we are also reminded in chapters 14 and verses 15, 1 through 18, we are also reminded of the victory of faith. The victory of faith. In one of the last books of the Bible, John wrote in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, he says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." 1 John 5, 4, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world." Oh, I love what it says here, 1 John 5, 4. "And this is the victory that has overcome the world." Drum roll, please. What is it? It's our faith. That's what 1 John 5, 4 says. "And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." At the Passover, we see the victory of faith. When the blood was put on the doorpost, when it was put on the lintel, the people were demonstrating their faith that the Lord would honor His promise to spare the firstborn of those houses, right? And that's what God did. The death angel did what? Passed over. At the Red Sea, when they're getting ready to cross, we see the victory of faith. When the people stood at the edge of the Red Sea and Moses told them to go forward, we see their faith again as they obeyed. Moses said in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, "Do not fear." He said, "Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever." You know, this is the point when it comes to faith. That this is really the key. We've got to stand by the gospel. We've got to stand firm in the Word of God. We've got to stand by in our salvation. We've got to stand firm as brothers and sisters in Christ. This standing by, this standing firm is the challenge to our faith today. Number four, we also learn the value of God-given ceremonies and services. God-given ceremonies and services. There's a great danger, and many religions have done this, there's a great danger in substituting man-made ceremonies for those that have been given to us by God. We should not add anything to what God has revealed, but we also should not neglect anything that God has revealed. He gave the Hebrew people the Passover so that they might observe it throughout all their generations. And Jesus, what has He done for us? What has Jesus given to the church? Jesus has given us, His church, His bride, two ordinances, right? Baptism and the Lord's Supper. And we've got to do those things. Amen? So, we also learn the value of God-given ceremonies and services. And finally, after deliverance, when we are delivered, when we are set free, are you ready? After deliverance, there should always be a what? After deliverance, there should always be a song. There should always be praise after deliverance. As they stood on the banks of the Red Sea, the people burst forth in song. That's the song of Moses. Exodus 15, verses 1 through 18, and then Miriam's refrain in verse 21. There should be a song after deliverance. This is what we do when we think of the wonders of redemption, as we think of the blessing of salvation. That is why we have such a rich heritage of Christian hymns and praise songs in the church, because we want to do what? We want to bring glory and honor to His name for what He has done. And so the question is, do you love to sing? Amen? Do you love to sing? If you're saved, if Jesus is in you, you ought to love to sing. But you say, "Well, Pastor, I know I'm saved, but I really don't get the singing thing." Well, if you don't love to sing, God will teach you. God can teach you. Just as He taught David. David said in Psalm 40, verse 3, He put a new song in my mouth. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. You got to be ready to sing because you're going to do a lot of singing when you get to heaven one day if you're saved. So you might as well get in the groove of it, amen, and just enjoy it. Well, as we think about kind of a review, some things, some lessons we can take away as we leave that portion of Scripture, we come up to this passage that we read this evening, Exodus chapter 15, verses 19 through 27. And so what is next when we think about this passage that we've read tonight, 15, 19 through 27, what is next for God's people? Think about this for a moment. The Israelites, they could have taken one of three main routes out of Egypt to Canaan. The shortest route would have been to go up the coast along the way of the Philistines. If you want to look in the back of your Bibles, you can find their journeys in your Bible maps. Amen. I always think that the Bible maps are just as inspired as the Bible. It's good stuff back there. You can look, you got your little Bible maps in there. If you have a Bible that doesn't have maps, you need to get one that's got maps in it, right? So you got the biblical world of the patriarchs. You've got the Exodus route. There it is, in conquest of Canaan. Yeah, map number two. That's map number two in my Bible. It doesn't even have a page number, but boy, it is a pretty map. And you kind of see what they did, right? The Israelites could have taken one of three main routes out of Egypt to Canaan. The shortest route would have been to go up the coast along the way of the Philistines. Using this route, a Roman general once marched his troops from Egypt to what we would call the Gaza Strip today in southern Palestine. He did that in only 5 days. If the Israelites had gone by that route, however, they would have had to fight at the Egyptian fortifications along the way. And so God's evaluation was that war might drive them back to Egypt. Now, if you want to just confirm that with me, you can go to Exodus chapter 13 and look at verse 17 as we kind of Bible study through this. Exodus 13, 17, the Word of God reads, "Now when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead him by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt." So they did not go that way. They didn't take the shortest route. There were also two ways across the desert, one far to the south and the other the way of Shur, a little closer to the coast. But they did not travel any of these main routes. Instead, they went southeast, down into the Sinai Peninsula. And look at your Bible map. In the back of your Bible, you'll see they went southeast, down into the Sinai Peninsula. And they had many lessons to learn along the way. So when we kind of think through this passage as we're Bible studying through it tonight in Exodus 15, 19 through 27, what is next for God's people? Well, I'll tell you what's next. They had many lessons to learn along the way. They had many lessons to learn along the way. Now, when Christians read, when we say, folks, when we read these narratives in Exodus and these Bible stories, we see the parallels to the Christian life, or we ought to see the parallels because there's some great parallels to see here. We think of Canaan. We think of Canaan, the land to which they're headed, as representative of heaven. And we think of their passage through the wilderness as our pilgrimage through this life. And the parallels are not always exact, but they're there. But certainly they are. Certainly the parallels are there in respect to the people, we as people and them as people. And what are you getting at? Well, they were immature spiritually, and a lot of times we can be not mature spiritually, right? And so as we have a lot of lessons to learn, these folks had a lot of lessons to learn. As they had a lot of lessons to learn, we folks can have a lot of lessons to learn. They had to do what? They had to learn to trust the Lord. They had to learn to experience His provision for them in all kinds of circumstances. And isn't that what we're going through today? We're having to learn to trust the Lord and experience His provision. right, as we enter into these, what I was talking about when we were going through our series of messages on the book of Revelation, how I told you things were going to be getting weird and weirder all the time, and don't we find ourselves in that kind of a situation? We go from a pandemic to almost a national unrest with just in a matter of days. Nobody's talking about COVID-19. I mean, they mentioned it a little bit on the news today, because they said all these protesters and these close proximity to one another and all this shouting. You know, the louder you speak and the closer you are together, if somebody is asymptomatic with COVID-19 and they're out there screaming and yelling, they're just broadcasting viral particles everywhere. And then you couple that with the tear gas and the pepper spray and the this and that. And what does that do when that hits people's sinus passages and it hits the lining of their lungs? It does nothing but inflame and irritate. And so that just makes an easy way for viral particles to get into somebody's body and begin to multiply and do all those things that that virus does. So crazy times are happening, right? They had to learn. We have to learn to trust the Lord and experience His provision for us in all kinds of circumstances. Thus, what God did and how He provided for them during their years of wandering are very instructive for us as we think about our life and times right now here in America. As we journey in this life toward our heavenly home. If you can't thank God for nothing else tonight, aren't you glad you're just passing through, right? That this is not the final stop for you. As good a country as this is, as great a place it is to live in the state of Texas, this is not your home. You're just passing through. Amen. We got a home we're heading for. And well, as we think about what's next for God's people, we see that God does something miraculous. God provides water. Now, He's parted the water, and now we're going to see God providing the water. And it's hard to know as we study this, and even as we look at the map in the back of your Bibles, that good map about the wandering or the Exodus route out of Egypt, it's hard to know exactly. I mean, it's just a dotted red line on my map. It's hard to know exactly where the Israelites went when they left Egypt and headed south. I mean, we got a general idea, but it's hard to know exactly. And the Bible doesn't give in this Exodus departure, it doesn't give many place names, and names and geography have changed over the years. That's just what happens. But there is an oasis associated with the journey. However, that today goes by the name of Eyun Musa. Eyun Musa, meaning the springs of Moses. And so the people probably passed that way shortly after they crossed the Red Sea and they came across this Eyun Musa, or they named this spring Eyun Musa, the springs of Moses. The hearts of the Israelites, I mean, think about what's going on. I mean, just in a matter of days, their whole reality has changed. They once were a slave people, yet they were being provided for, yet they were being abused at the same time. So there was a lot of codependence going on in what and how they were living and what they were doing. And now they've been delivered. The Passover has happened. They've received gold and silver and clothes from the Egyptians. They've departed. They've been chased. They've come to the Red Sea. They've crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. They've seen their enemy come behind them, get swallowed up and drowned by the water. I mean, it's been, let's just say, an emotional roller coaster that they've been through. So, and they're probably not rested. They're probably not fed up, really. They're probably on their last nerve. And so you can just imagine how dynamic and how easily moved their emotions are from being high to low, low to high, and all of those places in between. They just have seen God's wonderful deliverance. He had overshadowed them with a cloud and protected them. The Egyptians who had pursued them in chariots had been defeated, had drowned in the rushing waters. They had sung the great song of Moses and Miriam's refrain as they rejoiced over what God had done. Amen? But after Eyun Musa, after the springs of Moses, there was a long march of about 40 miles to the next oasis, the oasis named Mara. And for a large company of people driving animals, herding animals, carrying all their possessions along with them, this would have been about a three-day journey. And that's really hoofing it, to go 40 miles in 3 days with all of the stuff, with their children in tow, with their senior adults in tow, with everything that they owned in tow. That would have really been hoofing it to make that 40-mile journey in 3 days. The path they were on was a dry, stony a plain that runs along the Gulf of Suez and then turns into a glaring stretch of sand without water. It's dry. It's dry as a bone. As that great company traveled south through the wilderness, going into the Sinai Peninsula, they found no wells. They found no welcoming oasis, no source of water for them, for their children, for their senior adults, for their flocks, for their herds, nothing. And Moses, remember Moses? This is all about kind of Moses' character study. Where had Moses gone when he fled Egypt? He'd gone to the backside of the desert, hadn't he? Yeah. Boy, isn't God a sovereign God? Moses had lived on the far side of the desert for 40 years, driving the flocks to different watering places. I think they're in Moses' backyard is what I think. He may well have known this area like the back of his hand. And if he did, then he knew that there was an oasis farther up the road. And he probably encouraged the people about it. I can imagine him saying, I know this is tough now. I know we've been through a lot now, but we got to what? We got to keep on going. We got to keep on pushing through. God's a faithful God. He's been faithful to us. He's protected us. God will provide. We'll reach an oasis soon. The only problem was, when they finally reached Mara, its water was so bitter that the people could not drink it. This was why the oasis was called Mara, which means bitter in the first place in Hebrew. Naomi, she uses the same word in the book of Ruth when she tells the women to call her Mara because her life has been so bitter. Ruth chapter 1, verse 20. So we see that God has divided the water. We see that God has provided some water. But now we see there's no water and Moses is in, he's in deep trouble. Moses is in a, he's in a tough spot. Think about this. There was much faith. We talked about the victory of faith. That's one of the lessons to learn. There was much faith that was expended to lead 2 million plus people out across the desert with really not a whole lot of provisions on hand. That took a huge step of faith to do all that. Moses had trusted God to provide. The people had trusted God to provide. The people had trusted Moses that he was being led of the Lord. But they get to the oasis and the water was undrinkable. The people were complaining. They began to grumble. Forgetting, it's easy. You know, it's easy to forget how God had provided for you. It was easy for them to forget how God had provided for them. Exodus 15, 24. So the people grumbled at Moses saying, what shall we drink? And think about their need, the need for water. I mean, that really is kind of a genuine need, isn't it? Water. Water is not a frivolous want. Water is a necessity for life. You got to have water. But you know what I love about Moses here? I mean, we could almost say that this is one of Moses' finest hours. You know what Moses does? Moses does what oftentimes we forget to do. That's what Moses does. Moses had not forgotten the lesson that he had learned. What is the lesson that he had learned? Well, when he was in trouble, this is what Moses figured out. When I'm in trouble, when things are looking tough, I should turn to God, right? And so he prayed. He cried out in Exodus 15, 25. Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. So he prayed. He cried out to the Lord. Now, I just got to say before we close in prayer tonight, a lot of liberal theologians will read and study this passage, and they will literally try to find a tree that'll make water. that'll make water sweet. There is no such tree, all right? There is no such tree that is like some kind of carbon water filter that takes the bitter out of the water. This is a miracle, just like the parting of the Red Sea. This is a miracle taking bitter water and making it potable water, what we used to call in the airline industry, potable water, so you could drink it, right? That's what happened here, a miracle. So he prayed, he cried to the Lord. Friend, if your situation is difficult out there, if you're having a tough time out there, think about how God has provided in the past. Think about how God has come through for you. Think about your salvation and your deliverance from the penalty of death, hell, and sin. Think about where you're headed today to a place called heaven. And hold on. Keep on keeping on. And when things get difficult for you, do what? Cry out to Him. Cry out to Him with all your pain, with all your anguish, with all your emotions. Simply cry out to God. And then listen. And then be still. And know that He is God. And know that He's for you and not against you. And know that He has a plan and a purpose and a place for you. Cry out to God if you need to. And then receive His help. Receive His peace. Receive what word you need to receive. And move forward. And go forth. And keep on keeping on. Amen? Don't forget, there are times when we need to be still with the Lord, and there are times we need to cry out to the Lord, and there are times we need to move for the Lord. Amen? You be in His Word, you be in prayer, and He'll reveal to you where you're at and what you need to do. Amen on that? I think so. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. We thank You, Lord, for Your blessings and for Your Word. We thank You for our character study on Moses, Lord, and we thank You for how You, Lord, give us this great illustration of deliverance and provision and protection as we read about You and how you dealt in the Word of God with Your chosen people. And Lord, we find great comparison, we find great illustration of our own personal lives today as we go through the struggles of life, the pains, and Lord, the blessings and the struggles, and Lord, the incredible highs and the incredible lows of this life. Lord, we see You in the midst of that, leading us and guiding us and helping us and holding us by the hand and sometimes carrying us. We see You in all that. And we praise You and we thank You for it. Lord, sometimes our lives are bitter. And Lord, sometimes we just need to bring the bitterness to You and let You take the bitterness and give us the sweetness. Give us the sweet peace that passes all understanding. We thank You for loving us tonight, Lord, and all that You do for us. Be with us, Lord, as we continue on this week. And Lord, I pray that this coming Sunday, as we seek to come back together for public worship, that, Lord, it really will be about bringing glory and honor to Your name, that Your anointing in this place with Your people would be great, and there would be a great freedom to preach. And Lord, there would be a great openness to receive the Word of God, whether we're here in the pews or whether we're on the live stream. May Your Word continue to go forth and bring glory and honor to Your name. Thank You, Jesus, for all You do for us. It's in Your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. We love you. We'll see you Sunday. Hope to see you here live. If not, we'll see you on the live stream. Take care. Have a good rest of the week. God bless you.